day, everyone, wherever you are, whenever you are listening. Welcome back to the 23 podcast. Parker Kern here, along with Father Jeff Macbeth. Father, what's up?
A lot, yeah. You know? Yeah, which is great.
Unload, man. What is it?
Yeah, there's just so much, going on this time of year with, just different, just confessions, either you'll hear, but also other parishes, other schools, just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Of course, OCIA is mm-hmm. kind of an entering in the home stretch. We got the family faith formation. We got, young people preparing for first communion. They've already done their first reconciliation, and now they're gearing up for that. Confirmation, is going to be coming up mid-April. There's a little discernment night for them on Monday. We got people preparing for marriage. So a lot of sacrament stuff going on, which is just really great. Of course, Easter's around the corner, and so just a lot going on, besides the regular stuff, and mm-hmm. so it's great. Yeah, Stations of the Cross, all those kind of things. It's good.
That's fantastic.
But it's a full time of year. It's a full time of year.
It certainly is. Yeah.
Try not to use the word busy. I started doing that like a couple years ago. Like, I'm gonna stop using the word busy. I'm just gonna call it full.
Rad.
So exactly rad. Okay. Yeah, it's totally rad. So I do my best to not use the word busy.
I like that.
I think in part because people, you're busy. So I can't come up and talk to you, or I can't. Mm-hmm. It makes us, I think, too inaccessible. Which I get. There's only so many hours in the day, and sometimes the days are pretty full, and sometimes the weeks are pretty full. But I always, part of me always feels bad if people out there think we're just too busy for them. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which the schedule might be too full on a certain day or whatever, but
doesn't mean we're not here.
Yeah. I never want people to feel like I'm too busy to even talk to them, or whatever. So, or if there's something that someone needs or whatever. So that's one reason I tried to stop using the word busy.
I like that.
So yeah. Yeah. Something I've been working on. But certainly all of our people preparing for those sacraments, it'd be great if you can keep them in your prayers. Again, our First Communion,
mm-hmm.
young people, or young people for confirmation, we have a lot of weddings coming up in the spring, April, May, June, so there's a lot of that going on. I mean, Chris Turner's going to become a priest in June.
Oh, baby.
So there's a lot of people preparing for a lot of different sacraments.
That's right.
And so it's great. And it's going to be good to keep them all in our prayers and all that, and really that God moves, in their life, which is what sacrament's supposed to supposed to make happen. When we're more open to the graces of that, bearing fruit in our lives. And so that's what we're trying to work on, and hope that we're inspiring. And of course, God does the heavy lifting with all that. So
God always does the heavy lifting.
Yeah. So yeah, a lot of exciting stuff coming up in that sense. So
yeah, that's great. It's interesting symbolism for spring, because it's it's a time of new beginning,
mm-hmm.
right? The flowers and the trees are budding, and the grass is starting to get green again. The skies are bluer. I think we're transferring the clock maybe this weekend or next week. I'm not sure.
I think it is this weekend.
Yeah,
it's hard to say anymore when it automatically.
I thought they were gonna get rid of that, but I guess not.
I think it used to be in April, and they moved it up.
Yeah.
Because I think even the fall back used to be earlier too, and so it's like,
yeah, it's actually this Saturday.
Yeah,
like the 10th.
Well, it's a Sunday, right? But in the wee hours.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Saturday, Sunday. Right.
Right. Well, we're fast asleep.
Yeah. Spring forward.
No.
So we'll be rough. Coming in.
Not a morning person anyway. That's no. So that might be a little rough.
Yeah, we'll be really dragging. On
I know.
That's okay.
I know. We'll do our best.
God's going to do the heavy lifting,
that's
right?
That's right. And going
to heavy lift for us.
Hopefully, just people have mercy on us.
Yeah. It's okay.
So, yeah.
Again, Red Bull and coffee, whatever you need. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Extra shot of espresso.
There you go.
Be good.
Yeah. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen for you.
Yeah. But it's it really is a great time of year to watch. And, obviously, this being my first one kind of in this role, it's really cool to watch all the components come together, mm-hmm. and the people mm-hmm. just really entering in prayerfully to all that's going on in their life, because everyone's on a different journey. sacramentally and just in general, right?
Yeah.
But I think it means kind of the same thing in a way. You know, you have someone preparing for marriage, like myself, and you have someone preparing for their first communion, mm-hmm. right? But you're preparing for different things, but I think you're preparing for the Lord to continue to bless you and continue to move in a new way in your life. And, you know, though a 7-year-old probably has a much more mature way of looking at it than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoops, I just hit the...
No, that's just, right, just proves your point.
Yeah, Yeah. But they though we're looking at it from a different lens, mm-hmm. it's still sort of the same, you know, you're anticipating something. It's again, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the time of fulfillment, right? Like mm-hmm. we're preparing to be fulfilled in this sacrament. And I just think that's a really beautiful thing. It's almost like when you're waiting for something really, really big to happen. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you have a birthday or mm-hmm. you have, you know, something fun coming up or vacation or something. And you're just like, oh, I can't wait for this.
Right.
Sort of the same energy, I think, that at least I have, and I'm sure lots of others as well, preparing for the sacraments.
I loved your point in general too, of everyone comes to church with something, you know, some need, and just the fact that you're there, we don't hold that lightly. You know, I know you for the music, you know, and you know me for like the message, you know, even though it maybe gets fouled off sometimes, we don't hold that lightly, you know, and we desire, you know, really truly desire deeply to have God move in the life of everyone who shows up, you know, sure. in the way that they need. And so one, just pray for us that we can keep doing that. But that's part of the pressure / excitement adventure about the whole endeavor.
Right. You know? Like, I forget who I was talking to one time. I really don't remember, but it was a really great quote. It was like, it was just as I was being like interim in the director role. And mm-hmm. someone said, like, you're never going to have the perfect mass. You're never going to play the perfect mass. There's never going to be a perfect mass. And that's why it's mass, because everyone there and everyone, you know, participating is imperfect.
Right.
And you come to perfect to experience it and to consume it. Right. And to be in communion with it. But yeah, it's, that was just sort of a interesting imagery for me. Like, wow, I guess that's right. As much as I'd like to say, oh, I've played a perfect mass, probably right. not.
Yeah, the perfect worship is in heaven. Yeah,
100%. But like,
otherwise, we're just doing our best.
Right, and all the people there, while they're fantastic and they're disciples, none of us are perfect.
Right,
there's only one perfect one.
Yeah,
and that's the guy we worship.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was an interesting,
yeah, for sure,
quote, anecdote, whatever you want to call it.
But, yeah, yeah. Well, I think especially too, like, we can get caught up in a sort of a consumer mindset, like that it has to be all the perfect thing, or we have to provide, quote unquote, the perfect product, you know?
Yeah. Like we talked about last week with the mountaintop experience, like every week has to be mountaintop.
Yeah.
It's gotta be like box office. It's like, no, right. That's not it. Like, missing the point.
Right. There's something about the consistency, you know, and they're just doing it week in, week out. Mm-hmm. That's formative and transformative, you know, when we're stepping into that each week.
100%.
You know, just, yeah, maybe even shapes us in ways that we're not even aware of, because it's so consistent.
Sure.
Right. Kind of, right, there's a commercial years ago, for some pharmaceutical or something. I don't know if you remember this. I love the commercial, it was great. They're like, what if one stalk of broccoli could prevent cancer? You know, what if one push-up would prevent heart disease? You know? And it's like, well, obviously, the point is that it doesn't work that way. And so I think that's true even with our, you know, encounters with God, you know, prayer every day, mass every week, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, once, probably it's just not ultimately gonna do it. Yeah. Better than not doing it, but it's sort of the regularity of it,
the and routine. The
consistency,
right.
You know, that really makes a difference long term. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's good to remember.
Yep.
So in our gospel for this Sunday, so this is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and as we talked about last week, because of scrutiny for their elect for baptism, which just another great group to keep in prayer.
100%.
You know, our adults who are at this point in their life, wanting to enter in full communion with the church. Such beautiful. A beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So we're in year, we're shifting back to year A again. And so every fourth Sunday in year A, and then, you know, for these prayers for the elect, we hear from John chapter 9, which is the man born blind. So just like last week, you know, with the woman at the well and with the water, you know, theme throughout the readings, you know, it's baptism. Also with this man born blind, with the light, you know, the light of Christ, and being able to have to see, have spiritual vision, which is good for all of us to remember, you know, who are already baptized, you know, to be renewed in that and ask for the grace to, you know, have the Lord do that again, you know, for us in a way that we need at this point in life. So John's such a great gospel in a lot of different ways, and some of these, in part because we have some of these passages that don't appear in the other gospels.
John is the best.
And they like take up a whole chapter, you know? The man born blind is John chapter 9. We're going to read the short version on the podcast. You'll get the full version at Mass.
Oh. You can
get your money's worth.
Wow, yeah.
I don't like doing short versions at Mass. You know, it's like, let's just go full on, you know? But, you know, you can, of course, you can look up the full version and
USCCB.
And you'll hear it on Sunday. But this is the short form.
The abridged version.
The abridged version, the Catholic Digest version. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him.
Interesting.
Yeah. One thing I like about this passage is that Jesus gets kind of down and dirty. You know,
literally,
which is great, you know, because sometimes we have a little maybe overly sanitized version, and so like spits on the ground and makes this clay out of it, and then like rubs it in the guy, smears it on the guy's eyes, you know. I mean,
it's
obviously,
like something you do at recess or something,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I tried that like 4 or 5 times, and it's never worked.
So, the people I do it too just look at me,
it's usually the opposite that actually makes people blind, you know, when I do that.
Or you just get hit in the face either way.
Right. Maybe with a mud pie or something. Yeah.
Or a right
hook. So, you know, Jesus obviously could heal people any way that he wants.
Exactly.
You know, but there is something about, you know, earthy, I guess, like literally about spitting on the ground. So, like, that's sort of like part of him. You know, he didn't like he, you know, found water and poured a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like part of him, part of himself. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it makes this like healing clay, you know, and then like rubs it in the guy's eyes. So like Jesus is willing to get like down and dirty, you know, with us sometimes, you know, as we talked about last week, it's not always the mountaintop experience. It's the everyday stuff. And even in some ways goes a little further here and shows it's, kind of in, you know, sometimes there's a mess involved, but he's willing to go there with us. He's willing to give us part of himself, you know, all of himself, of course.
Yeah,
but you know, this, you know, shows that you know, he's just sort of all in a sense, to, you know, get in there and help this guy come to see, which ultimately isn't just that his eyes work, but then as we see at the end, you know, that he recognizes, you know, the Son of Man, the Messiah, and believes and comes to worship.
You're right. And he, you know, obviously performs a amazing miracle and heals the man. And again, we've seen this all Lent, right? People start to, you know, he's starting to get people to believe. He's showing what he is capable of. And I think, again, this, in contrast to what we saw a couple weeks ago on the mountaintop, literally, right? He's now in the trenches, right? And doing something like this. And I think that the nature of which he went about performing the miracles was obviously not lost on him, that, you know, to show in various ways that he is God. And I think this was just a very fine way for him to display that in, I wouldn't say a more modest way, but maybe in a more human way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not sensationalized, you know, yeah. Like, which maybe would have been impressive and, you're right, got people to, I don't know, appreciate him more, you know, like this big spectacle.
Right.
He's just sort of like, again, it's sort of like, it's, you know, a little more humble. I was just thinking too, it's, even in the short version here, we see a lot of conflict. And so we see that, I mean, that, you know, it's throughout this passage, but, you know, some of the Pharisees believe that he healed them and some don't. Some of the people recognized this guy, some of them didn't.
Yeah.
And even with the Pharisees, and there was a division among them.
Right, and then they threw the guy out. Just
yeah. It reminded me even of like when Jesus was presented in the temple, and, you know, the prophet Simeon said, you know, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many and will be a sign that will be contradicted. And so we see this contradiction,
right?
You know, that some believe, some don't, some enter in, some don't. And so, of course, we know that even to this day, you know, people like Peter Kraft, you know, says Jesus is the only name that you can't be neutral to, or Jesus is one of those few people, whatever, you know, that we can't be neutral to. It's either positive, negative, but it's not like, eh. And so we see this today, and we know people struggle with that even within their own families and friend groups and whatnot. So it's that need for that spiritual sight, you know, is still at work today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it will be for many years. I mean, you just don't really know how people are feeling or what they believe, what they feel. And what you can do is, you know, what I like to do is just pray for people that are, you know, maybe lost or, I mean, obviously pray for myself that I don't get lost, because I feel like I'm pretty lost on a daily basis, but I know that I have, you know, I know that I believe in God. Right. And, you know, so you pray for those that think they have it all on their own and that think they got it.
Yeah.
Because you know that they probably don't, but, and so just for him to really speak to them in sort of that way. And, you know, I am he, right? That's a pretty big statement. You know, I am he, I am the man, you know, I'm him, right? Like that's, I mean, obviously all respect to Jesus. He's the only person in civilization's history that can say that.
Right.
But like, that's a pretty big state. Again, like if you were just walking into, you know, I know last week we talked about Costco or like Wendy's or something, and you know, all of a sudden this guy, I am he, right? And we know that there's been people like that, Koresh, folks like that have proclaimed themselves, but they're not really God, you know?
Right.
But just like seeing someone walk around like that and saying that, I mean, wouldn't you just be like, whoa?
Right.
And then, you know, obviously to perform a miracle like that.
Yeah. Which is ultimately where the resurrection makes such a big deal.
Oh, 100%.
And why Easter is such a big deal. But even with this, you know, he does the sign, you know, and then asks them, you know, if he believes.
Yeah. He didn't like impart it on him. He like asked him.
And, you know, we think, well, yeah, he healed the guy's eyes, you know, it'd be obvious. It's like, well,
what else would he do?
Right. Yeah, right. But maybe not, you know, because sometimes people, you know, encounter something, even the miraculous, and it's still, you know, a challenge to believe. It's just part of our, I think, fallen nature.
Uh-huh.
You know, that we just don't. even though we struggle to get it too, you know, and maybe get it as clearly as this guy. What I also like about this too, with the idea that his neighbors, you know, and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, isn't it the one who used to sit and beg? And some said it is, but others said, no, it just looks like him. So the fact that he was unrecognizable in a sense is really a fascinating piece of this.
Just because, like, you could see, right?
Yeah, like once Jesus healed him, like he was so, like healed his eyes, like apparently he was so transformed that like people didn't even recognize him. No. You know, and wouldn't that be like awesome if that was like you and me?
Right.
That and it is in some ways, and we take that for granted, or we don't acknowledge that or whatever. Sure. But we do look different, carry ourselves different because of Jesus. Maybe that started when we were little, and so that's why we don't really recognize it as a abrupt change like this. But we see that Jesus is, you know, touch and enabling this guy to see made all the difference, and even people didn't even recognize him, you know? Mm-hmm. And so even like with people, there's a couple different ways of doing this. People who do follow the Lord, like if we stopped, people shouldn't recognize us anymore. Right. If we're really living it, like, cause we'd be so different in a bad way that people wouldn't notice a difference, you know, or that, you know, if we really are living, you know, Christ alive in us, that people should notice a difference. I think that's just another piece of this great passage here in John chapter 9.
Right. Yeah. It's like, what happened to Father Jeff, you know?
Right. But yeah. Yeah. So
interesting.
Maybe we should say a little prayer for that.
We should.
Well, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'm the Holy Spirit. But God, we thank you that you have given us eyes of faith, however imperfect they may be, that we do recognize you as our Lord and Savior, as the one who came to bring us life and who looks to move in our life each day. For those of us who are struggling in faith, Jesus, I ask that you come in your power to touch them in their lives, and to give them the ability to see who you are, lead them to worship, and to know that you are the Lord. Help us to continue to share our faith with those around us. Help us to have the world look at us differently because we know you and belong to you. It's through your grace and the power of your Spirit that all this happens. So we love you, God. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love in the Holy Spirit and through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All righty, Father. Thank you so much.
Parker, thanks, everybody. God bless you all, and we'll see you soon.